Taxes and questions about taxes can become rather heated when in terms of discussions. But we need taxes. Most community services and assets are supported by taxes. Education, police and fire protection, public buildings, recreational initiatives, our roads, our sidewalks, our streetlights, all are there because of taxes. As we gather to celebrate the Eucharist today, the topic in the Gospel is about a tax. In today's brief Gospel reading, Jesus is approached by a delegation sent by the Pharisees. You'll notice that the Pharisees don't come by themselves. You'll remember the last three Sundays, Jesus has been telling parables to the Pharisees, criticizing them. So they decide not to come. Instead, they send a delegation accompanied by a group called the Herodians, folks in favor of King Herod. And first, they introduce their question with hypocritical flattery. What they say about Jesus is true. He's honest. He teaches the way of God, and he shows no partiality. But they are snotty in their flattery, and their intent is to trap Jesus in a gotcha moment. If Jesus advises not to pay the census tax, he will be accused of treason, a troublemaker. If Jesus advises the people to pay the tax, he's breaking the law of God, because the coin would have had an image of Caesar with the inscription, "Caesar is divine," and that would have been prohibited by the first and second commandment. If Caesar's divine, then what about God? And it was also a burden for the impoverished people of Palestine to pay the tax. Jesus is not only holy, he's also clever. He calls their bluff. In spite of their compliments, he asks a brutal question. Why are you testing me? Why are you trying to entrap me? Let's look at the coin. Give to Caesar what has his image on it. But then give to God what belongs to God. Caesar can stamp his image and the inscription, "Caesar is divine," on as many coins as he wants. But the human person is marked with a divine image. God is our source. God sustains our lives, and God is our ultimate destination. Now, it's true that sometimes it's difficult to recognize the image of God. When we look at each other, even when we look in the mirror, we might see only the negative inscriptions that others have left, because some of our lives have been influenced by people who try to scratch out the image of God. And they try to engrave in our minds and our hearts a different inscription. But the fact of the matter is, we have been imprinted with the image of God. And sometimes in our culture, the inscription of a brand name or a team affiliation or political loyalty can replace the dignity of the divine image. And we think of people less because of who they root for or what they're wearing or what party they belong to. And we live in a very politically charged environment. It's important for us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But if it conflicts with what belongs to God, we need to be very cautious and careful. You see, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, his sovereignty and his teachings will influence all aspects of our involvement in the church, as well as within the community. To be human is to be stamped with the divine image of a God who has chosen to enter into a relationship with us and who chooses to share his life with us. And God is concerned about all of creation because all creation comes from the heart and hands of God. And so issues like respecting human life, the dignity and the unity of family, concerns about the environment, war and peace, the promotion of justice, policies that sustain decent wages are all worthy of our attention. What happens to persecuted Christians and what happens to folks who are oppressed matters because all people are created in God's image and likeness. All worthy of our attention because all are a part of life, human life. Is God getting from me what rightfully belongs to God? Is God getting from you what rightly belongs to him? And how we use our time can be a pretty accurate indicator of how we answer that question. Because at times, each one of us can become excessively a spectator, a viewer, a shopper. St. Paul reminds us, as he reminded the church in Thessalonica, we are also to be engaged in works of faith, labors of love, convinced that by persevering in hope, Christ can become Lord. The words of Isaiah the prophet cut to the core. The Lord is God, and there is no other. And our communion with him sets us free from all attempts to entrap us, except for taxes.